This story begins with an outrageous proposition. It's that in any given school, the gifted kids are overwhelmingly white. Few people in 2015 would accept the idea that white kids are smarter than others, yet many school systems seem to act as if that is true.
Studies show white students, along with Asians, are more likely to be labeled gifted and talented than their black or Hispanic classmates. In a moment, we'll talk with NPR education correspondent Anya Kamenetz about why this is happening, and we'll look at possible solutions.
But first, Laura Eisensee of Houston Public Media brings us one family story.
Fernando Aguilar has five kids, and he named his only son after his hero, Isaac Newton.
I looked up to him, and so does my son. You know, hopefully one day we can make contributions to society like he did.
His son, Isaac, is 8 years old and in the third grade. And like the famous physicist, Aguilar thinks his son is pretty smart.
I think he's going to be a lot smarter than I am.
Aguilar is stretched thin between his job building servers for a software company and finishing his college degree in statistics. So it's special when they've got time to play together at the park.
It was fun.
It's hard for Aguilar to be involved in Isaac's school. When Isaac was in kindergarten, he was tested for gifted and talented classes. Aguilar didn't know that was happening. He knows the gifted program exists, but not all the ins and outs. Back then, Isaac didn't qualify as gifted. But enrollment statistics indicate that black students and Hispanic students like Isaac would more likely be identified as gifted if they were white or Asian.
I think it's a clear case of segregation, gifted education being segregated by race and by income.
So Houston school leaders asked Donna Ford from Vanderbilt University to look at their enrollment. She's worked in the field of gifted education for decades.
Racial bias has to be operating, inequities are rampant. Discrimination does exist, whether intentional or unintentional.
Ford found that both Hispanic and black students are underrepresented, and that black students are missing out the most. And she says that about half the seats go to higher income students, even though the majority of the district is poor.
That's just a waste of a huge number of students' gifts and talents.
Ford has seen this in other places, and she's got ideas on how to improve it. Ford says Houston's entire process is laced with problems. It starts with the test. Houston uses an exam that some educators consider culturally biased, so it may fail to identify a student like Isaac as gifted. Teacher recommendations carry a lot of weight, but they can be subjective. And Ford worries that because the whole system is point-based, families can strategize.
Knowing the system, working the system, using that social capital, it does advantage you.
Parents in the know can find tutorials online. Here's one from testingmom.com.
Even kindergartners have to solve paper folding puzzles.
Some parents even spend $150 on test materials. Meanwhile, other families have no idea the gifted program even exists. And the Houston School District says it wants to change that.
I think it's safe to say at this point that there's no sacred cows.
Adam Stevens is in charge of advanced academics at the Houston School District.
We're looking at the testing that we use. We're looking at how we identify students at the campuses. And if we feel like it's going to allow us to really meet the needs of the students in HISD, then that's something that we're committed to moving forward.
And as for Isaac, the district says it will test him for the gifted program again this fall. For NPR News, I'm Laura Eisensee in Houston.
Across this country, white students are about twice as likely to be labeled gifted and talented than black or Hispanic students. Anya Kamenetz of NPR's Ed Team has been covering this story. Hi, Anya.
Hi, Steve.
So we just heard a march through all the points at which this process can go wrong in Houston. Is that true across the country?
It does seem to be a national pattern. The vast majority of school districts do expect parents to nominate students for testing for gifted programs. So as the professor from Vanderbilt University said, that presumes a lot of savvy, a lot of social capital and know-how to navigate that system. And, you know, a study that came out last year shows that outcomes are much more equitable when you test each and every student. But at the same time, the question is, are parents really prepared to advocate for their kids to get tested to get in the first place?
What is the role of teachers in all of this?
Well, you know, teachers are really supposed to be responsible for identifying gifted students in a vast number of districts. At the same time, one professor that I spoke with says it's very common for teachers pre-service to get just a day or so of training or learning about giftedness, and they may not be prepared to recognize it in all of its many forms.
Okay, you already mentioned one possible fix to this, which is test every kid rather than just the kids whose parents push for gifted and talented testing. What other ideas are out there?
I think it's not considered best practice to rely on just one test score. In an ideal world, there are portfolios of student work and relying as well on student past performance. I think something that's really important to recognize is that giftedness can be contextual. You know, you might have a classroom where the vast majority of students, perhaps in an impoverished school, are performing below grade level, and that one person who's on grade level, you know, if you were to put her into another setting, she could really shine.
Anya, I want to ask about one other thing. We've gone through this story presuming that it is a great advantage in life to be labeled gifted and talented. Is it?
Many, many states require parents to put students through all these hoops to be identified as gifted. And then once they do that, there's very little for them. You know, it might be a resource room or a pull-out group once a week. And, you know, almost no states require a special curriculum for gifted students or a particular set of lessons. And so the experts that I talk to say the gifted students have very specific social and emotional needs as well as intellectual needs. And the programs that are available, particularly in impoverished districts, might not match those needs at all.
So we've set up a biased system. Most of us probably don't even realize it's biased. And once kids get through the biased system, they don't get very much for it anyway.
Right. It's a real irony. We throw all of our resources into identifying students. There's clearly a biased outcome. And then the resources aren't always available. Special classes, special curricula, they're just not there in every case.
Anya, thanks as always.
Thanks, Steve.
That's NPR's Anya Kamenetz.